anything in business, you have to make that decision. It should feel uncomfortable. Otherwise, you're not probably changing
Correct.
Enough. And this was uncomfortable in the beginning.
Yep.
But it really has started to... And so the joke about it is are we going to be doing this in 5 years again?
Right.
Like, yeah. And so I'm like, well, that's 5 years. So let's live in the moment right now.
You got it. Negative 17 right now. Currently, we're supposed to reach minus 50 with the wind. I was told by my wife this morning that we are officially going to be colder than Antarctica.
So if our office, we have what we call a bullpen session. So there's times where it's like somebody will be talking and go, somebody will kind of peek their head over the cubicle and go, have you thought about? And then go back to whatever they're working. But that wouldn't happen if you didn't have that collaboration or that communication.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Here we are with a brand new season and a brand new episode on the Real Growth Podcast. Here with a really special guest that I've known for a better... We just were discussing this prior, but probably 2 decades, which is kind of crazy. Mr. Eric Funk. So... Welcome, Eric. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, this is awesome, actually. Yeah. By the way, this room is cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, I think you did a really good job with this.
Yeah, I'd love to say that I'm the one that, you know, picked out all the decor and everything, but that would be a complete lie. So
we did talk about that. Hire people that are smarter than you and they make you look good.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Definitely one of those cases. So yeah, we're here on a very frigid day in Rochester, Minnesota, negative 17 right now. Currently, we're supposed to reach minus 50 with the wind. I was told by my wife this morning that we are officially going to be colder than Antarctica. So a little fun fact for those that are listening or will be listening here in the future. Anyways, yeah, we're here with Eric. Eric is with Thrivent Financial. And, you know, as part of this Real Growth Podcast, Eric, we like to talk about, you know, what you do, a little bit of that, what you're working on, things like that, and kind of tell your story a little bit. And so I guess I'll just let you talk a little bit. Eric, let's just start with a very easy question. Who are you? What do you do? What's a little bit of a story about yourself?
Well, I'm Eric Funk, an advisor for Thrivent Financial. We're actually the Emerald Financial Group. Been in the financial services industry, it'd be just shy of 24 years. I would say kind of over the time frame to get into the career, I always tell people, you know, I prayed for this job. And then I realized when I prayed for it, I was referred to, at the time it was Aid Association for Lutherans, mm-hmm. and Lutheran Brotherhood at the time, mm-hmm. before the merger was announced. But the pastor of my church and the president of the church actually were the ones that referred me to them.
Oh, interesting.
So it was kind of that moment where you kind of do the, okay, things maybe really were supposed to happen. And what I prayed about was my wife and I were engaged, and clearly now the next phase of your life, okay, now we need to, you know, grow up, find a career. And so when they came to me, I was like, oh, I'll do that until I find the next best thing. So 24 years later, I'm still looking for the next best thing is what I tell people. But I also prayed that I didn't really ever have to worry about money, you know, because when you're younger and talk about having kids, right, financially, you're always worried about that. So God has a sense of humor. So I don't worry about finances for myself, but everybody else's. So be careful what you pray for, I guess, is the mode of that. So, yeah, we're in the financial services industry. Like I said, been doing it for 24 years. And recently, again, kind of, I know on the faith side of things, recently I lost my business partner. He had retired, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. over time, you know, after 24 years, people come in are going to go. But I also lost kind of a right-hand man in our office, one of our analysts. He decided to leave and go to seminary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was a shock when he came and told Colin that he was going to apply for seminary. And his comment was, I may not get in. And I'm like, I don't know, you're kind of overqualified. So, and then I even had the comment of like, well, I could try to overpay you, but you're already paid more than what you would make when you go off to seminary. And clearly you have thought through this with your family. And so he picked up his 3 kids and left 3 states and went back to school to go to seminary. And so there was a time there. So Colin, Adam, and myself had some time to really plan out what we wanted the business to look like. Because I've always trusted their opinions and direction. And clearly I was losing 2 people that I had worked with for the better part of a decade and a half. So, you know, 12-ish, 15 years together. Colin was 20-some years together. Adam was close to 13 years at the time. And so now I was trying to figure out what's the next phase for me. You know, what's my seminary
calling? What does that look like? What does it look like? Yeah.
And so I had some time with that. And so going through that process, there was a time I was working with a consultant, you know, just processing what, you know, helping what mm-hmm. the business, you know, what the next phase should look like with, of course, the Adam and Colin. And I was making the comment that I was jealous of Adam, you know, to make the, you know, that calling of I'm now going to leave a very, I'll say, comfortable career path. Mm-hmm. He had a really good income. His wife did. They had I would say the American dream, good mm-hmm. incomes, flexible lifestyle, and decided we're going to go pick up and go do God's calling. And I was kind of, like I said, jealous in the sense of I was waiting for what calling was that for me? When was I going to get that? Now I'm supposed to, like, Noah's Ark type moment, like build the boat and, you know. And I was talking to this gal, Laura Hutchinson, and Hutch. And she goes, Eric, don't you think maybe God already has you in the spot you're supposed to be? And that was kind of a shock. I was like, yeah, I work for a fraternal organization. We're not a nonprofit, but a not-for-profit organization that does a lot of give back. Naturally, our history was in the Lutheran churches, which is now a Christian, not just Lutheran. And we do a lot with give back in the community with our members. And so really wanted to spend a lot more time of kind of going back to those roots, working back in the churches and cultivating that, because one of Thrivent's mission, and I would say we've really want to live that mission, is make sure our clients live abundantly so they can give abundantly.
It
was like, yeah, I can do this. Yeah. I mean, and I'm uniquely qualified, because when I first started, I was spending tons of times in churches. I've been in the community now for an extended period of time. I know the community's needs. I know a lot of the important people, but, you know, clergy in the community, city council people, you're clearly a center of influence in the community.
I am clergy. Yeah, just kidding. Yeah,
in your own way. Yeah. But, you know, I know enough people to now, if I can help your mission or their mission and activate our membership to support that, that to me, I think is what I'm going to try to hopefully leave for a legacy. So that started all of this, which then said, well, I can't do this myself.
Yeah.
And so now we're growing aggressively.
Yeah.
And that's how we connected.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's, like I said, and Eric alluded to, there's some history, and it actually started with my dad way back when. And I do actually remember, I don't know if it was the first time that I met Eric, but it had to have been one of the first times. The office was over on 52, and I just remember walking in. My dad and his former partner did some work together. They were on the Choral Arts Ensemble board together. And so I think I was in high school when I met Eric, and, you know, Eric's this big, boisterous, larger than life character. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. And I just, you know, I'm short like my dad and like my dad was. And I just remember me and Eric was just one thing I really noticed was your heart, Eric, and how much you cared. I mean, that definitely showed, especially as I think I was a senior in high school when I first met you. And that definitely showed. And I think that just is a testament to you as a person. Like, you're talking about your mission in life and the legacy that you want to leave. I think that just shows who you are as an individual, as a person. So thank you for that and sharing those things with us, because I think it's really important. I don't know if we've actually ever had like a faith-based kind of a thing here, and this is kind of cool. I like it. I love it. I think this is really cool because everybody has their own journey in life. So, so I guess the next question I want to have is, once again, it's a very simple question. You know, some people know what financial advisors do, but some people might say, well, what exactly do you do? So what is your day look like, Eric? I'm sure it's hectic, but like, what exactly do you do?
So my goal is to be in front of clients from start to finish, which is one of the things that we're trying to do. But ultimately, I would say we're a financial coach. I've really found over the time, the math of the financial planning is actually the easy part of our job. It's actually working with the clients, the emotions. That's been the part that I don't say it's hard. When I got into this career, I thought I was just going to make people a lot of money and it was going to be so easy. And then it was like, wow. Oh, you know, and then a client will, you know, loses a loved one. And walking them through that process, or they, a divorce, or they children coming into their life, just all of these experiences. So really what we try to do is be proactively talking about their finances and where they're trying to go to make sure that they're prepared for
whatever
it is. But we always kind of say they have a smart place to get money where they need it. So every day we're talking about, you know, their cash flow, cash reserves, tax efficiencies? Where are their investments? Do they have the insurance products in place to protect in case they lose a loved one? What about the estate taxes? So all of those, and clearly our industry, I would say over the last 10 years, 15 years, is continuing to expand and become more difficult. And so that's one of the other things too, as a team, we have team now of other financial advisors who specialize in key areas, and also starting to see that even in your kind of business with real estate, you know, there's different people who understand commercial maybe better, or multi, family home buildings.
Yeah.
So just same thing in our industry, but so we have a team of that. So my goal is to really, what I tell people is I'm the quarterback that brings together that team of attorneys, accountants, other advisors to make sure that they're, that we've thought through all the potential scenarios. So if something does happen, like I said, they've got a smart place to get money. And again, back to kind of where our mission is that they can live abundantly, so they can give abundantly. So one of the other things I love that I try to do is, I would say we're one of our niches because of Thrivent is the give back.
Yeah.
We teach people how to give money.
Yeah.
You know, if you talk to a lot of financial advisors, like, well, you're going to give money away. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so cool when you see
it
some of these.
It is super cool.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel good.
Yes, it does.
And that must be really cool. I thought when you said, like, you know, you brought up certain life things, and I think that's really cool because, you know, it's just not transactional. You are actually building a relationship with these people. And sometimes it's not just that individual or couple, it's entire families, Eric. Mm-hmm. And when you said, like, I just was like, wow, that does actually sound really awesome. I've never thought about that before, but you really are with your clients, I'll call them, literally like for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And you're planning and helping them through these different stages in life, which that's actually really powerful, and that's a pretty cool thing.
And we're actually on to the point now, I've been doing this now, we're on like second generations. And passing the wealth. And
cool.
I'll say the fun part about it is working when you get to see, well, just like we talked about, like kids growing up.
Yeah.
and you know, and then the next phase of it. But also the hard part about that too is, you know, I do have a client right now I've been working with for 23 years, and he is clearly having some dementia issues. And one of my first clients, you know, and so, you know, you see the good and then you kind of see the hard part. But I would say that's also one of the rewarding parts is knowing you, another story when you talk about rewarding, I mean, clearly there's the accolades of whatever career path you're in. But this scenario, there was a younger gentleman who ran the Med City Marathon, thought he pulled a rib muscle, went into the doctor, ended up having stage 4 lung cancer. Mm. And husband and wife came into the meeting, scheduled a meeting to see me, and because they felt that they needed to share what they were going to have to be dealing with. And there's nothing more powerful than sitting in that meeting. Clearly, I became somewhat emotional, but I tried to make sure that I carried that through that meeting, not to be emotional. But I was able to have the conversation and look at both of them and said, go beat this thing. Financially, you'll be fine. That is actually one of those moments. And now I can tell you he has since passed.
Yeah.
But the widow spouse, she's doing great. Kids have graduated. And this is, you know, and clearly doing very, very well. But that was one of those good moments where you could just see the relief of the husband going, yeah, she's going to be fine. We're going to be okay. And we can go focus on living instead of the other pieces. So, yeah, that's really kind of what we do in a day-to-day. Yeah. I mean, there's the other, you know, normal, I can get into the numbers pieces of it. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, no, thanks for sharing that. Because I think sometimes people just think, oh, maybe they're, you know, trading stocks or you're putting people into, like, funds, right? But it's
we
a
do.
Lot. You do, yeah. Right? But that's just a very minor part of the much larger picture, which I love the analogy of you're a coach. I think that's honestly perfect. And you're there with them every step of the way. And I think that has to be extremely rewarding. I love these stories that you share because I think this is just super helpful.
I think that's what we're in business for.
Yeah.
When you can say, when people say, I always joke about, you know, when it's like, oh, I want to help people.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how? Right? Like, you know, like, how are you helping people? Yeah. You know?
Right.
So,
right.
Where some days I always kind of, you know, like, I'm not a doctor. I didn't save a life.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't commit, you know, surgery or, you know, right. So of course we live in the Med City world. So it's the, you're kind of like, do I really help people?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But each of us give back in the gifts that we have in whatever way is possible. And I think that's, you know, like I said, just knowing your dad too.
Yeah.
I mean, right. What he developed and created.
Yeah.
The gift of life transplant house.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And the impact that he had on the community, and just, those are the things that, like, I look back and it's like, okay, that's kind of what I want to be able to leave someday too.
Yeah.
You know,
of course. And you're doing it. And I think that's really cool. And you're living it. And I think that's really awesome. And you're helping others do that too, Eric. So
yeah,
I think that's really cool. So I know, I don't know, it was probably already a few minutes ago that you were talking about you're growing. So let's talk about that. You know, where you started and where you're at today, because I think that's kind of how, I don't say we reconnected, because we talk yeah. throughout the years, but it's really how we kind of started to really start reconnecting on things a little bit. So you said you were growing. When did you start seeing that happen? I know you said you had met with a consultant to discuss, because your partner was retiring, and then the other colleague was leaving for seminary. Is that like the moment where you're like, oh gosh, okay, what are we going to do next, right? And then things started happening, right?
Yeah, so we actually had, at the time, Colin Aldous, myself, Adam Holtz, Diane Barkley, and Shauna Easley, give them credit. There was five of us, and actually this consultant came in and looked at all of our metrics. An industry expert that used to work for, I'm sure if people have heard of the major accounting firms that are, you know, out of there, but he specialized in the financial service industry, and he looked at our numbers. He goes, I don't know how you're doing it. He's like, guys, you work in 80, 90 hours a week. And we're like, no, maybe 40. He couldn't believe how efficient we were, that we were based under the metrics. We should have had twice the people in the office for what we were doing. And that was an accolade of just, again, we worked really, really well together, and we had the focus on what our core was. But that was also a shock to me of, okay, if I lose Adam, I lose Colin, if we are that efficient, how am I going to replace whatever that? And I don't want to work 80, 90 hours a week. Right. I mean, there's just not that much time in a week. Right. And we've already, and again, same thing we talked about, we promised our clients we're going to be there.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And so we had to be there. So part of this was, okay, focusing, okay, well, how do we replace what work? What do we have to do? And clearly, if we wanted to be able to get back to where I can do, like, helping with the give back component, I had to, I would say, give up some of my day-to-day of the operations of the business so I can focus on other carries. And so that was part of what started all of this piece. So we had to hire another analyst. I had to hire other advisors in the office, other client service specialists to make sure that the service work was done for the clients. So we doubled the size of our staff. We are now 12 people now. 12 people now, with an understanding we'll probably be at close to 15 to 16 in the next 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
But again, that was also a testament to commitment to our clients too. And so we outgrew our physical space.
Yeah.
And that's when I called you and said, Nick, what am I going to do?
Yeah. And here we are. Yeah. And it's kind of fun because, like, we can actually see out of this window. Well, no, maybe not this window, but just across the way, we'd be able to see Eric's building going up. And, let me tell you, it's going to be a pretty awesome building. I think we're blessed to have Eric as a neighbor, and like Eric was saying, very fortunate to have Eric as a client and a friend, and to help him out on this phase of the journey. And Eric called. I don't even remember when that was, Eric. I mean, the weather was surely nicer than this.
Well, I can show. I remember exactly what it was.
Okay,
because I was actually at the state wrestling tournament with my senior son.
There we go.
And I got the call from my operations manager saying, "Oh, by the way, our current tenant said he doesn't really want us to build out anymore." Yeah. And we were, so I was kind of joking. In business, I'll tell you, you should always have one option: A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Well, I was all in on A, which we had talked about. And I said I was kind of regretting, because we just had a great relationship with our current landowner, and we loved our location, and we thought we could take on more of that space. And so we spent some dollars and time figuring out what it would look like in that location.
Yep.
And I sat down with him and said, here's our plan. I thought I gave him probably a better deal than most people would, just because we really liked him and the location, and thought it would just be easier that way. And yeah, I got the phone call going, Eric, what are we going to do next? And I remember calling Nick going, what am I going to do? On a Friday, I think it was a Friday.
Yep. Matt and I came in, we sat down with you and Dan and
had
the discussion. Yep. We had the discussion, and, God works in funny ways, for sure, because
right around that time, we had the piece of land under contract because we were planning our phase two of our development. And we had already had one tenant for a building. It's now an oil change building. We knew we were going to put another building because we had other tenants interested in moving in. And so we're like, okay, we'll just build another strip center. But then we had this piece of land, Eric, that we were like, well, what are we going to do with this? We thought, oh, maybe it'll be future expansion or something. I don't know. And it's like, talk about, yeah, talk about God works in funny ways. Because
this is what I need. Oh, we got this lot.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just like, oh, wow. Like the light bulb was just like, well, yeah, here's a lot. I don't know if we can talk about it. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you know, whatever. We'll find a different spot. And, you know, lucky for us, I think lucky for you, you know, the piece of the puzzle were put together and it works. And now we're seeing a pretty awesome building go up.
And it's going up quick. Well, and I would say too, I think, you know, I got to give you guys credit because I called you. I said, I've never owned a building.
Yeah.
Never built it. Well, I mean, houses, which right. If you've ever built a house with your wife, like, uh-huh. And you're still married. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm doing this with a commercial building.
Right.
So I didn't know who to call.
Yeah.
I didn't know the rules. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And you brought together a group of people that I just trusted immediately.
Yeah.
Sat down with one meeting, and I think my comment was, I don't need to be in any more of these.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah, I remember that. Just have Dan will be here. He'll,
yeah,
yep.
Yeah. And then my wife has come in and started doing all the decorating, and
sweet.
Which for her has been great. We've been just recently became empty nesters. So, and my wife was a stay at home mom for years.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, we're working through that, but this has given her a little bit more purpose than just the normal, what dealing with the kids, but she does a great job with it. She decorated another office.
Oh yeah, the current office is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's doing that now too. So it's been, yeah, I can say Jeremy's been awesome.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just absolutely love Jeremy. You know, he's our with Scheppner Construction. He's been, I don't know if the guy ever smiles or has a sense of humor, but he is the most monotone. But
yeah,
but no. You just every time he says something, you're like, Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So yeah, he's been great. I believe it's TSP, if I say that right, with the architect. Chris has been great. Yeah. My wife loves working with Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Dan, my operations manager, and my wife and all of them have been, I've really been kind of, all I have to do is make sure that the money's there.
Yeah.
Which I said too, that was one of my goals. If the business works, we can afford to do this.
Yeah.
And so I had to buffer myself from the distraction of this.
Yeah.
And the team has done a great job. You guys have done a great job of just keeping it going. And I think we're going to come in on budget, on time.
Yeah.
At least it looks that way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Right,
knock on wood.
Yeah, right? Exactly. No, for sure.
Yeah.
So the process has been very positive.
Yeah. I'd do it again if it was this easy all the
exactly,
time.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. No, and it's just been really fun to kind of see that too. And, you know, for me, you know, putting that team together was super fun too. And I appreciate you trusting me because it's one of those things where I actually just had this conversation with the consultant. They actually just called me to ask me about, well, how do you make decisions? And I said, honestly, I'm a trust person. I'm an emotional person. If I get a good feeling, I'm hoping that that person who's coming to me and asking me questions trusts me enough to put together the best group of people for them. I said, I'm not just going to throw in someone. You got to make sure that they jive and they click and you think that they're going to be the right fit for the project because each project is different.
Yeah.
And so it makes me happy that you're like, no, Nick, I trust you. These are the guys because you say they are the guys. And it makes me really happy to know that I was able to play a small part in that role. And to be with you.
Small part.
Well, it is a part. Okay, we'll say it's a part.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
In this journey because, we got a beautiful building going up and it's super fun for me because, like I said, I literally can look out my office window every day and see this thing go up and the changes. And it's crazy. I mean, it is. It's
looking really cool.
Quick. Yeah.
It's looking really cool. Yeah.
And we can post some images and things like that too. But let's talk about the layout a little bit. Like, how does it differ, Eric, from where you currently are? Like, what was kind of the inspiration behind that too?
So if our office, we have what we call a bullpen session. So, something I learned in business some years ago from, again, a consultant. I have no really good ideas. I just steal them from everybody else. But one of the things they said was be office-less.
Yep.
And so don't own an office. Don't hide in an office. So I actually have probably the worst spot to sit in my office. I sit basically in the middle of everybody. So you can't hide. Like you have to be working. You can't come in and just lollygag around. But my goal is anything that hits my desk needs to get to somebody else. This is really part of the reason I'm there is so that way it, I can look at my desk, and if it's cluttered, it means something's not getting done and I'm holding on to it. So this location is going to have a large bullpen session, just very similar. And we found that that's actually worked really good for culture, collaboration. Again, everybody can have their, but there's times where it's like somebody will be talking and go, somebody will kind of peek their head over the cubicle and go, have you thought about, and then go back to whatever they're working. But that wouldn't happen if you didn't have that collaboration or that communication going across. And sometimes there's, it just starts the, and sometimes I've been even in back there and it's like, hey, this client's coming in at 2 o'clock. Can you join me? Yeah. I'll be in. Yeah. So then, you know, that wouldn't happen again if you didn't have that collaboration. So we have a large bullpen session or section, and then we have 4 conference rooms that we would meet with clients. So it's all the dirtiness, the busyness is in the back section. And then, of course, conference rooms are clean, and we try to keep them all similar. So that way, if I'm in one of the conference rooms, but we needed to, we had 2 conference rooms where we're at, we doubled it. So we have 4 conference rooms now, but all 4 will be Zoom available. Mm-hmm. 'Cause now, you know, after COVID, we went from having maybe 10-20% of our appointments through Zoom or, you know, virtual to probably about 50%.
Wow.
Yeah. And clients that are even local are just choosing to do virtual meetings. It's become, I don't know, at least in our world, it's become more popular. So, in fact, yesterday I met with a client I had never met before, did everything over the phone.
Wow.
Never, which I would have thought 10 years ago that would have been obsolete. Huh. And they even got off the phone like, this is one of the best appointments we've ever had. I'm like, 10 years ago I would have struggled with that.
Sure.
But now that we're in a virtual world, most people are comfortable with it. The follow-up, you know, through technology is even better. So, we're going to have technology for that reasons too. So some of the back area will be for virtual opportunities as a part of that. So we're actually taking roughly just over half of the building now.
Right.
Because Jeremy talked me into growing. He says, he says you should build a bigger building than what you need today. I looked at him, and about 5 seconds later, I was like, okay. And all I heard was dollar signs, and I went, yeah, but he's right.
Right.
So back to trusting your people who have been in this business.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like the goal is, so right now you're set to, you'll comfortably fit, right, with your current team. Obviously, you'll probably grow. You're set to grow in that space itself, right?
Yep. 3 to 5 years, we'll probably maybe outgrow it. We don't know. But it's enough where we know in the next 3 to 5 years that we have growth opportunity in that location.
Yeah. And I would argue this is a really great location. They have great exposure, West Circle Drive. I mean, I can't say enough about West Circle Drive and all the growth that's going on out here. It's really exploded, and it's going to continue to based on what we're seeing out here directly to the west of us with all the residential development. So, the phasing of this and the planning of the project has actually gone pretty well. I know you said that, there's a lot of trust there, and there's trust within your own team with Dan. He's awesome, by the way. Everybody loves Dan. I mean, good. He's just the guy that just, he seems like he's got a lot of answers, and he's right on top of things. Let's talk about, I kind of just want to talk about your own people for a little bit and how you, Eric, found those people. Because like we said, and we've alluded to, like, surround yourself with smarter people and good people. I'm just curious, like, how did you go about finding these people?
By accident, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to say that I was recruiting and they found them, and you know, you kind of throw out, I would say easily, it was just I needed help and I threw out the help. I guess one of the things that I've always said is even when we're not hiring, we're always hiring.
Mm-hmm.
So we've taken on people before we needed a job.
Got it.
If they're the right talent, you're like, wow, this person's
gotta
really
got.
Yeah. And I would say this. So what are the talent things we're looking for? Batteries included is what I say. Like, do you have the energy to show up? Because, you know, Monday morning comes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I even have some of those mornings where I don't really want to go on to work today.
Yeah.
But do they have that energy to want to just, they're going to show up to work? Are they self-motivated? And I would say, do they align with our values?
Yep.
Right? Because not everybody wants to work with churches, has maybe a faith-based background. And that's okay. You know, but, and also how we work with our clients is different than other financial services organizations. And not, some clients aren't right fits for us for that reason too.
Right.
But do they buy into that? And if they do that, the mission becomes kind of the self part of it. And then what I just try to do is your dad had told you, just find smart people and get out of the way. I get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't want to say I regret the decision. It's like, okay, they're doing this. But you just let, if you have the trust in them, let them, and not only that, but I would say, I kind of joke about it, just let them fail.
Yeah.
Let them make the mistake and let them know that you're going to be there to go, it's okay to make that mistake. You know, they're like, well, are you upset? Well, it sucked. We made a mistake. Like, I'm not happy we made the mistake, but are we going to do it again? No. And I think so that's what I've tried to do with anybody is bring them in and let them, but then put them in the spot where they enjoy their work.
Yeah.
I go to a thing called Strategic Coach.
Okay.
But one of the their big things is it's for entrepreneurs, but one of their big things is let them be in their unique ability. So each one of us has a unique ability that's just built into you. So try to find, let them be in their unique ability so that they're doing the work that they're just uniquely qualified for, that's built into them. It's not something you can go like go to school. It's like already who you are.
We are, yeah.
And so I try to let that be a part of it so they can, so clearly Dan likes to just be, I would say he likes to be busy and just kind of on random projects all the time.
Yeah.
And likes to kind of run the business with, I would say, oversight. So that's why we have him doing that kind of work. So that's why you've met Dan.
Yeah. Well, then it allows you to do the things that you want to do too, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I think you're putting people in, like they talk, right, whatever, the correct seat, right, to be successful and to be happy. Because ultimately, that's what we all want. We want that culture. We want people to be happy and actually enjoy coming to work. I mean, I think it's so important and just makes such a huge difference when you're running the company. So, this is just so great, Eric. I mean, I know we're kind of getting close to the time and, I really do appreciate having you here and having these discussions. It's been such a fun process and kind of just reconnect a little bit on not only like business side of things, but just life in general. I think that's just so important. And I'm super, super pumped about the fact that now we're literally like next door neighbors. And it's going to be really fun to see how you guys grow into that building and just bring some new energy and I would say more energy to the area. So as a neighbor, I'll say welcome to Sarah Place Northwest in Rochester.
We're excited for that. You even got growing out here.
Yeah.
You know, like we've seen some of the new stuff that's coming out. Like all the team members are like, wow, look where we're going to be able to have lunch at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's actually that I think that's one of the things they're really excited about was just, you know, the energy. And I think part of the reason we picked the location too is we wanted to make a statement that we're going to be here.
Yes.
And this just has that vibe over here too that I think you guys done a good job with when you developed it.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, every building is clean.
Yeah.
It looks like it belongs.
Yep.
There's, I mean, you're getting, you know, I think it was the sandwich shop that's supposed to be moving.
McAllister's. Yeah.
Looking forward to having it's lunch there awesome. A few times.
Yeah.
Qdoba's right here.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I think my analyst's wife does yoga down in here in your building.
Yeah. So
everybody already knows. And of course, then what is the, what's the indoor playground?
Yeah. Boundless.
Yeah. So we have, you know, young families and they just, they talk about that place all the time. So they're already kind of already hanging out and around this area already.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that was kind of the whole point. You know, I know people were like, oh, you guys took a real leap of faith. Cause when we did come out here originally, there really wasn't anything out here. There was a Quick Trip, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Quick Trip.
Everybody loves Quick Trip.
Yeah. But like, other than that, it just wasn't. And you know, it's, you kind of just copy, I would say what happened down at the Costco area. Right. It's kind of like one of those things, like, you know, the first one's in, you know, you can make things work. And it was just, you know, yeah, what we wanted to do is create something that, you know, it is focused around and we want it to be a one-stop shop and we want you to be able to, you know, you can work here, you can play here, you can get some food here. And we hope, you know, and obviously you guys with your services and everything like that, we just, it's about community and continuing to build that community and what that might look like.
And our vet is even moving in now.
Yeah, a vet. Yeah, we got a vet. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty awesome. That's going up quick too. So, yeah, the whole area has just been really great. And, you know, like we talked about, just with everything, all the residential houses that is going up to the west, Eric. This is just, I remember my dad told me like probably 15 years ago, he was like, Nick, Northwest is just, that's where all the growth is. And, well, it still is today. That's where all the growth is. So, you know, what's the timeline, Eric, on this project? Like, what are you guys,
We're thinking June.
June.
Yeah. That, I mean, I think Jeremy says like he'll be pretty much done with the building, but they got to have warm weather to lay the parking lot. Yeah. So that's really it's a weather thing for whether it'll be April, May, June.
Yeah.
Or July, I guess, you know. Clearly on a day like today, they're not thinking about pouring cement.
But, yeah, right. Yeah, so like days like today, you know, we needed to warm up a little bit here. So we're talking about, sometime probably second quarter opening for the building. But, you know, throughout the process, obviously, come out here, take a look at what's going on because changes are happening. Honestly, it's almost on a daily basis. I remember seeing like the concrete, the footings were being poured, and then all of a sudden there's like a structure.
Yeah, that's like the walls are up and the roof is up. Yeah, it went quick. It was a surreal moment for me.
And how has that process been for you, Eric? Like, I remember when we built this building, so we office in the building that we're in, and for me, it was surreal because I've never been able to say, oh, I'm a part of this project, or this is, I own a part of this project. I've never been able to say that before. So being able to, I mean, I remember coming to this building on, for sure, a weekly basis just because, right? It was just so fun. Yeah. So how has that like process been for you, Eric?
Well, I've been trying to tell myself not to drive over every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, because, right, like I said, I don't want to get distracted from that. And again, clearly put a good team of people I trust together, let them. But I do try to stop by at least once a week because I just want to kind of see what's good. It is exciting. Yeah. But I would say, first it was scary.
Yep.
Because I'm writing some fairly large checks. Yep. I'm doing things that I didn't. Now, looking back at the math, it's all going to work out.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, working with you, working with the team, they've, again, has reduced a lot of my anxiety on regards to that. And now looking at it, now I'm excited.
Yeah.
And like I said, what's actually been funner is watching the team.
Yeah.
Them seeing themselves in that building. Sure. And like I said, just saying, oh, I can't wait to have lunch at the Qdo, you know.
Yep.
And like I said, just they're a part of all of this growth that we're doing and the give back in the community. And so I think that's been the funner part of all of this.
Yeah.
You know, Sam was here taking pictures of us. Clearly, I'm sure she's already taking pictures of the building. We'll be up on our social media. She's loving that
that's
too.
Awesome.
But like I said, the team is just, you know, we should have an espresso machine. And so I think the excitement has been, it's been a lot funner. And like I said, even with my wife now, you know, Sunday night conversations have turned into, hey, I'm meeting with the architect with the builder or the carpet people. What do you think about this carpet? So it's even given my wife and I more to talk about too and something that we can connect with.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So it has been, just in general, life-wise, it's been great.
Great. Yeah. Is there anything like you would change or like do differently, Eric, at this stage?
I guess I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than, no, I would say, like I said, I would have maybe called you sooner.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That would have been probably, that was the, because clearly, like I said, I had option A.
Yeah.
And if we would have talked sooner, I probably would have done, because here's the thing, my build out on this new building would have, it's costing me about the same that it would have done in the old building. So, financially, I'm probably better off as a business owner doing what I'm doing than live in the, what I would say was comfortable, right? Yep. And anything in business, you have to make that decision. It should feel uncomfortable. Otherwise, you're not probably changing
correct.
Enough. And this was uncomfortable in the beginning.
Yep.
But it really has started to. And so the joke about it is are we going to be doing this in 5 years again?
Because now it's
like, and so I'm like, well, that's 5 years. So let's live in the moment right now.
You got it. No, and I agree with you on that. And I have a similar sentiment to that because actually it's really funny you say that because my wife and I were actually just discussing this. It was Tuesday night. We were having dinner. We put the girls to bed and somehow the office came up and I said, you know what? She's like, are you happy with, you know, how all this went? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I love the fact that we have our own space, that we're a part of this building. For me, it was that natural next step as a business to grow. It was kind of like what you were saying, Eric, you know, oh yeah, you can continue to do what's comfortable and what you feel is safe. But I agree with you. I think in order to grow, as long as the numbers work and you made a calculated decision, it just wasn't based on feeling. It was calculated, right?
Very calculated.
And you said, okay, we can do it. It might be uncomfortable and it could be uncomfortable for maybe a year or two, but in the end, it's going to be the right decision. I can honestly say, I told my wife, I was like, it's only been for us. We're going to be at 3 years. I can't believe this already, but we're going to be 3 years in this building, I think in June.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Time flies. But I was like, I can honestly look you in the eye, honey, and say, yeah, this was the right move for us. Even though it was uncomfortable and it's still like, oh my God, it's the right move.
And I would even say, you know, your staff, my wife walked through your building and got a lot of great ideas from what you guys have done here too. So
yeah,
and that would say, you know, just working with your team, the people you've sent with and just seeing and coming up with the different ideas and just the openness of, like I said, back where I talked about, we talked about like your dad was one of, I would say, I'll say mentor of mine, you know, you just call him and you could ask questions. Yeah. I would say that openness of what you've done too for business of just here, I want to help, you know, you just got to ask for help.
Yeah.
And I think that's been, yeah, every time we've asked you for help, you've given that time. Yeah. And like I said, the, just looking at what you did here, clearly, what I mean, I'd love to steal this idea. This is
well, Chris can help you. Yeah, probably there we with go. That.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is, and not only that, it's just seeing this has been fun, and watching the community and how people can wrap around it, and just I think those things, that's what's exciting. I think about Rochester. We were talking about how it's kind of it's still small town. It has big town problems, but the. And you get to meet some really, really cool, interesting people here in Rochester. Rochester has some really cool people that live in the town.
It does. And I appreciate for those comments, Eric. And I can honestly say that the feelings are mutual. Well, and,
thank you.
You know, this has just been a really fun thing. You know, we're called the Real Growth Podcast. And it's fun to talk about the growth that you're seeing and the growth as an individual that you've talked about. And honestly, it's just going to really be fun seeing you and your team out here growing your company and your business. And like I said, we're super happy to be out here. And I would invite anybody who's listening, who's watching this, like, please come out and see what's going on out here. Check out Eric's building because it's going to be a wonderful addition to the neighborhood. So, you know, as we close out here, Eric, is there any last words?
I really don't have any other than, like I said, my hope for what we're doing here is I want to become a client of my office one day. And maybe you and I can be down in Florida with your mom in a day like today. Yeah. But until then, let's keep doing what we're doing here in town.
I love it. I say amen to that, brother. So thank you, everybody. That's a wrap for today's episode. Really appreciate the time. And if there's any questions about anything financially related, feel free to give Eric Funk a call at Thrivent Financial. Anything real estate related, feel free to give us a call at Realty Growth. Really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.